Friends, last year was a very, very critical year in the life of our family. And as I mentioned to you, it was the year that both Mary and I turned 60. So what we said to one another was, we don't want any parties. Some people have a big celebration when they turn 60. No, we don't want that. We don't want to give presents to one another. And save a little bit of bucks on that one also. What we will do is we'll pool everything and save and save and save and save as much as we can every month so that we can go overseas where two of our sons, John and Murray, and their families are living. And what we will do is take them away for a weekend to the Lake District, which is a very, very beautiful part of England, and just spend time with them. That will be the greatest joy that we could have. So we did that. And some of you may know Ian and Anne Curley. They've been members of CSER for many, many years. They've got the most amazing house in a village called Ross-on-Wye in the Wye Valley. And they invited us there for a few days, and we enjoyed it so much. And then we arrived at Murray's home. And honestly, my friends, we hadn't even put down our suitcases, just arrived, when there was a phone call from my eldest son, John. And he said to me, "Dad, sure, I've got some bad news. They've discovered a tumor at the back of my eye." So all we did was we just took the cases, put them back in the car, and we drove back to London to go and be with John. And over the next few days, we just about lived. Some of you may know it. It's called the Moorfields Eye Hospital in London. It perhaps is the best eye hospital in the world. That's all they deal with, just eyes. And there are thousands and thousands of people around there. And I don't think I'll ever forget sitting in that waiting room for John and Sarah to come out and to tell us it's cancer. Now, you know, for us, like I'm sure a lot of you, we've never had any difficulties to face within life. We've had a wonderful marriage. We've been married now for 38 years. We had the most incredible ministry in Pietermaritzburg, where the work exploded more than I thought would ever be possible. We've got the most precious three boys in the world. Everything was so good. And suddenly now, there's a big challenge. And one thing led to another, and the cancer was serious. He had what they call an ocular melanoma, which is the most aggressive cancer you can get. And the result was that he had to have his eye removed. So John's eye was taken out, and we were so hoping and praying that that would end it. Because, as you all know, I had to learn a little bit about it, the eye is like a self-contained tennis ball, and when you take the eye out, it generally takes out everything with it. So we waited. And in April this year, we were told that it hadn't been contained, and in fact the cancer has spread. It spread into his liver, spread into his lungs, and it has spread into his bones. Now folks, you can't get more serious than that. It is a very, very, very serious situation. And suddenly we as a family now are facing the greatest challenge ever that we have ever had to work with. We're a very close family by the grace of God, and Greg, our youngest son, has been unbelievable. He starts a trust that some of you know about called the JCE Trust, and the purpose is to provide whatever John will need for medication. He's on a treatment at the moment, just for your interest, that's costing £80,000. UK pounds, that's quite a lot of money. And we just want, through this trust, and Greg's been unbelievable there, to create an environment so that whatever John needs, he will get. If somebody says there's something in India, we want to be able to send him there. So won't you pray for us? But you know, people have come to us so often and they've said, but how do you cope with this? How do you face tomorrow? How do you think of tomorrow in John's condition? We believe without any doubt that God, who created our world, that God who is able to do all things, could in a second of time heal John. We believe that. But it's in his will. And so it's in the hands of God. And what I thought I'd share with you is just some things that have helped me. It may not help you, but there may be one of you here today and you are facing trials. Maybe not as big as the one that's been given to us to work through. But James chapter 1 has been an enormous blessing to me. And I'm going to take you through verse 1 to verse 12. And maybe not today, but in the days ahead, you may be called upon to go through trials. How do we handle trials? So there it is up on the screen. And I want to leave with you, my dear brothers and my sisters, four things. Four things that are absolutely critical for us. Is that all right? And I hope it helps. Okay. Number one. The first thing that is very critical is to have a joyful attitude. Eh? Is that all right? There we go. Now, you know, in the eyes of the world, that is ridiculous. It's ridiculous, isn't it, if we're absolutely honest? But listen to what he says. Look at verse 2 with me. Just keep your Bibles open. I want the Bible to really speak to our hearts this morning. See? And it says this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now we must be careful. That does not mean that we just walk around with a superficial smile, a shallow superficiality there. It's not saying that. There are times when we cry at night. That's the way it is. But you know what joy means here? It means that there is the most deep, deep, deep sense that God's with us. That John's life is in the hands of God. That what God does is only going to be for our good. And that is joy. That is joy. We had a meeting on Friday night at our church in Maritzburg. In the kindness of God, it was absolutely packed. And we called it Where Cancer and God Meet. And John gave his testimony. If ever you're free, you may want to listen to it. It'll be on our website from tomorrow. And you can get a copy. It was incredibly moving to hear of what has happened in his life. Not only the treatments, but how his love for Jesus is so much deeper than it's ever been. And he's enrolled now with Bible College. He's doing a diploma in missions. And if God in his grace prolongs his life for however long, we don't know, but it's in his hands, we want to use those years full. Isn't it right? We don't want to waste our time away in morbid thoughts. No, every day is a gift. So he is enrolled in a diploma of missions, and in preparation to join us in Footprints. Isn't that wonderful? It's been wonderful to see Greg, our youngest son. He's a qualified lawyer. Hopefully we'll have a master's in law by the end of this year. And probably, is that right? Maybe we're hoping that he's going to be standing down from law to go to Bible college. Now that's a big thing. And for Mary, his mom, and me, just being able to come alongside people. A lady phoned me the other day and said, I'm from Port Shepston. My son is 24, and he's got the same disease that Joost van der Westhuizen has got. Do you know this motor neuron disease where there's a slow degeneration of the nerves? And she says, I don't know who to go to anywhere, but somebody told me about you. Can you help me? I said, my friend, we'd love to help you. You can tell them about Jesus. You can tell them about the fact that in life, when the trials come, don't get down or morbid or depressed or discouraged. The right attitude is counted pure joy. Because God is working out His plan. Is it what we wanted? Oh boy, it's not at all, I want to tell you. It's the last thing in the world that you think could happen. But we love Jesus. He died for us on a cross. Count it pure joy. What is critical is a joyful attitude. Is that all right? What's number two? If you have a look at the next verse, verse 3, it tells me I need an understanding mind. I need an understanding mind. Now listen to what my mind must tell me. See verse 3? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops what? Perseverance. It develops perseverance. So trials are not there to hurt us. Trials are sent by our gracious Father in order to develop perseverance. So what does my mind say? Let me break it down for you. There are three things there. Point A, my faith teaches me that it's going to be tested. Do you know what, dear friends? Your faith is also going to be tested. May not be as difficult as what we're going through at the moment, but it certainly is going to be tested. Point B, the testing is always going to work for you. It's not there to work against you. It's working for you. It's working for you. And point C, it's helping you and me to mature. Now, I'll never forget, maybe some of you have also been there, but when I was a little guy, we grew up in Gauteng. You know, it used to be called Transvaal. Yes, those were all the bad days, eh? But my grandfather and my mother's dad used to work on the mines. Used to work on ERPM mines. Some of you know them, those gold mines. And our home was right opposite the gold mine. And sometimes my grandfather used to take me in those skips. You know, that's like a lift. And you see those wheels spinning, and it takes you right down underground. He used to work underground, and he used to get the gold. And I remember with grandfather, we used to crawl at the bottom, and he used to show me, look at them drilling here, and we used to see everything happening underground. And then my grandpa used to bring me up to the ground, and we'd go through the different stages, and then at the very end stage, there's gold. As it comes out of the furnace, you see it coming out of the furnace, thousands of degrees centigrade, and the gold comes out. It's been taken out of the rock, it's gone through the processes, and there I used to watch with my granddad the gold.
My faith is weak. It's inadequate. I'm a frail man. But you know what trials do? They make you mature. Trials are not there to hurt you. It develops perseverance. So my mind is important. My attitude is one of joy. I say to my precious Father, Father, I need you to help me day by day. I can't. And I know you're doing it for my good. My mind must remind me that there are going to be trials. My mind tells me that it's going to make me mature and stronger and better than before. I need a joyful attitude, and I need an understanding mind. The third thing I leave with you, number three today, that James tells me is I need a surrendered will. See the next verse, verse 4. Perseverance must finish its work. And listen to these words. So that you may be mature. See? That's a very, very important word. So that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So I need a surrendered will. A will that surrenders to what God wants, not what I want. When we had served Peter Maritzburg for 25 years, they came to us. It was so very, very, very kind of them. We didn't deserve it. But they said to us, thank you for all you've done. We would like to give you a gift. We would send you to any conference in the world that you would like to go to. Isn't that wonderful? So they sent Mary and I to a conference, and the one I chose to go to was by John MacArthur. He has a shepherd's conference once a year. And I said, well, if you would like to, I'd like to go there. And during that week, we all had supper in the evenings. There was about 400 delegates. And on the one evening, they invited Joni. You all know Joni? Her name is Joni Erickson, as she was. Now she's Tada, this beautiful lady. She's the most beautiful woman. At the age of 17, she dived into a pond and was paralyzed from her neck down. She's a complete, total quadriplegic. Nothing functions from her neck down. She's now nearly 50, and she spoke to us that night. I want to tell you, folks, I had a big lump in my throat. There were many tears there. And I've never forgotten that. And she said, you know, this is what happened to me. Now I can't walk. I can't use my hands. I can do nothing. She's got a lady that is with her 24 hours a day helping her. And she sang a song. You could hear a pin drop. And I went and bought one of her books afterwards, and she signed it for me. Well, she can't write. So she puts the pen in her mouth, and she signed her name Joni, which I gave to my mother. Oh, it was moving. But you know what? No bitterness. She never said, why have you done this to me, God? Why? No, there was nothing. You see, because a surrendered will says, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so with John, I've had to say, Lord, Thy will be done. And I need a surrendered will. Because that verse tells me that perseverance will finish its work. So that John and ourselves will be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now you're not going to agree with what I'm going to say now, but you're going to think about it, will you? Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a great preacher. And he once said this, if you are not going through any trials, then pray for them. And we don't like that. We like it to go nice and easy. Spurgeon says, pray for them. Yeah, just don't pray for such hard ones. But pray. You see, because he was saying that they mature us. They make us complete, not lacking anything. So I need a joyful attitude. I need an understanding mind. I need a surrendered will. And then number four, and lastly, I need a believing heart. Verse 5 to verse 8. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and when it is given to him. And when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind, and that man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So now I come and I say to myself, what do I pray for as a father? What do I pray? What do I pray for? And James says to me, pray for wisdom. Isn't that a fantastic verse? Pray for wisdom. So that you and I may know what to do. So that you and I may know how to do it. So you and I may know how to deal with situations. So that you and I may so live and so adjust and so work to the situation so that at the end, God is glorified. Now, will you forgive me for a minute? It just comes to mind while I'm preaching. Jonathan, I'm going to switch my cell phone on. I want to read you something. Can I do that? Just have a rest for 1 second. I want to read you something. I never keep messages on my cell phone. I got permission. Now, I want you to listen to this. Dear Warwick, since I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ in 1983, I have never heard Jesus' name lifted as high as it was done tonight. That was our meeting on Friday. Well done, and by God's grace, you can be incredibly proud. And God will take pride in what was done. John, it says, John is like a Billy Graham. But you know what struck me? Was that there was someone who's sitting in that congregation who's been saved since 1983. And they've never seen Jesus exalted like that. Isn't that wonderful? Through us, such inadequate, frail sinners. I'll never ever delete that message, let me tell you. And so I leave this with you this morning, my dear brothers and my sisters. Is life easy? Life is not always easy. There are some massive trials that you and I are called to go through. How are we going to handle it? Let me just go through it one more time and then draw to a close. What do I need? I need an understanding mind. I need a joyful attitude. I need a believing heart. And I need a surrendered will. And listen to the conclusion. The conclusion is in verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. And when he has stood the test, he will receive a crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. And just to lighten the atmosphere, let me tell you a funny story. I used to run the Comrades Marathon. Some of you know that. It was great fun. And you have to qualify for the Comrades Marathon. So I ran the Hillcrest Marathon one year. And you've got to complete, as you all know, 45 kilometers in 5 hours. So when you run the Comrades Marathon, you run with lots of people your own pace. If you want to run quickly, you run quickly with people. But I used to just shuffle at the back. So a lovely man and I were shuffling at the back. We'd done 10 kilometers, 20 kilometers, 30 kilometers, 40 kilometers. And then he says to me, I'm afraid I cannot tell you the same words in church, but you'll understand why. He says to me, Warwick, I am... That means he's finished. He was tired. And he'd used a very bad word. So I said to him, no, don't worry. You and I have come through 10, 20, 30, 40 kilometers. Just have a look over there. This is a true story. There's the finish. If you will just walk, I'll walk with you. I'll pull you. And we'll get to the finish. He says, I am. So I said, no, that's fine. But I've got to go now, because if I don't go, I won't get the medal. So I walked the last 2 kilometers, and I got my medal. And I'm having a Coca-Cola afterwards. And I saw him sitting there, and I said, you see, look what I got you. You didn't get it. You were nearly there. You only had a little while to go, but you gave up. That's what James is saying. Blessed is the man who perseveres. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Don't get down. God is with you. God is with us. God's got His purposes. God's molding and shaping our lives. Pray for wisdom to have a joyful attitude, an understanding mind, a surrendered will, so that as weak as we are, the Lord Jesus will be glorified through us in the fire. How do I handle trials? It's not easy, but they are the 4 ways that have helped us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage. It's an enormous help to us. And I pray that you would be with any dear friend here this morning who's facing a trial in one way or another, that they too may come through it with strength and bringing glory to the lovely name of Jesus. We ask you to help us in Christ's name. Amen.